All right. It's not how you start.
It's how you finish.
It's how you finish. We're gonna pick up back here the mentoring. You know, we're talking about discipling. We really have to be trained and developed. There was something that Apostle was saying tonight, registered with me, because when you're following somebody, you really have to pay close attention. You have to pay close attention, and you have to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always trying to get something over to us. He's always trying to impart something to us. So as we train and develop, and God is trying to, one of the things that we said, that we said that discipleship is not only giving a set of doctrines to adhere to, but discipleship means to reproduce after our kind. And so that's really what the apostolic, is about. Also is reproduction, is reproducing. So as it relates to this mentoring process, so we said that mentoring, on the other hand, has to do with imparting skills and styles so that the believers are able to do what they're supposed to do. We're coaching them so that they can become peak performers. So there are two styles of mentoring. We said there's active mentoring, and then there's the passive mentoring. The active mentoring is designed by both parties to outwork these things over a period of time. The mentor will provide consistent help until the skill is transferred and the believer is functioning effectively. You know, in LTMA, there's guys a lot of times that they say they've never been under a spiritual father, so they want, instructions, and they want somebody to just really show them how to be sons. But a lot of times they say they want to be trained to be sons, but they really don't want it. Because in order to really be trained and mentored, how many of you know, I'll go this way. A lot of times there are people who already have their own ideas. They have their own ideas. Okay, I had this one guy who said, he said, the Lord told me, you're to help me to follow, connect properly to an apostle. And so every time I tried to share something with him, he started telling me about somebody else that he was following one time, and they taught him how to do this. Wait a minute, if you already know, then there's no sense you wasting my time. You understand what I'm saying? And so a lot of times people say they want to know, but people have hidden agendas, and they have other things. Like there's been men who, I've had guys from over in Africa who they email me, and had one guy came down here from Johannesburg, and said that I was supposed to be a spiritual father and that kind of thing. And I said, first of all, I'm still in training. Yes, sir. I said, now you need to connect to a apostle. Well, God told me to connect to you. I said, no. But see, this is the thing. What people try to do a lot of time, they try to come in through the back door. Yeah. They trying to get close to an apostle, but they trying to get to an apostle through somebody else. And see, so, I told him, I said, well, you become a part of LTMA. He said, well, the Lord didn't tell me to do that. Well, the Lord didn't tell you that I'm supposed to be a spiritual father, because apostle has not released me to do that. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to be careful, especially when somebody's trying to make you feel like you've arrived. I'm telling you, there's so many things that Satan will try to pull on you. And but the whole thing is, you know, they trying to come in through a back door. No, the back door closed. No. You know what I'm saying? So we really have to be really have to be careful of. So the mentoring program requires yieldingness, submission to authority, the gifts and calling of the mentor on the part of the believer so that these skills can be crafted into his life to produce an effective result. See, because you don't want to just, you want to be effective. You don't want to be busy getting dizzy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just going around in circles and that sort of thing. So, you know, got to follow closely and you got to properly connect. So then there's passive mentoring. In passive mentoring, the believer learns from our ways and tries to do what we're doing to the best of their current ability. It requires a lot of self-initiative and a keen observation of lifestyles on the part of the disciple. So there's times when, you know, I followed the apostle for years before he even spoke to me. So, I mean, it was 5 years before I even had a conversation with him. So what was my reason? Was I following him so that we can have conversation, or was I following him because God told me? Right. Well, if we are following because God told us, then no matter whether or not we have a conversation with him or not, then we still follow. You with me? So these kind of things, you know, in order for people to really catch a hold of to a mantle and really connect properly, They have to be trained and have to be taught, have to be discipled and mentored so that they'll understand that, you know, this is not about some social fellowship. This is about ministry. This is about destiny. This is about carrying the torch, continuing to carry the torch. So you see all through scriptures where there was a handing forth of the torch so that the person who received it, you know, like in a relay race, they can receive it and they can keep running with it. Right. See, but if there's not proper connection, and if people have the idea that religion is about, you know, some kind of social gathering, and it's about some kind of networking, you know, where we can rub shoulders I can get in on your business and you can get in on my business and that sort of thing, then we're going to miss out on what God's trying to do. And see, that's what the modern church is trying to turn it into. Apostle was talking about earlier, because, you know, they got this thing now, you know, where they got coffee shops in the church where, you know, you sit around, sip on tea. The message going on. You got a conversation going with somebody else. You know, you're not paying attention to what's being ministered to you or whatever. You know, you're doing, you know, you're there, just like you in Starbucks, you know, you don't really have, you're not really focused on, you know, my relationship with God, or what God is calling me to do, what God is trying to do, through me, through that person that's supposed to be, pouring into me. You with me? So all through scripture, God has always been trying to get people to carry the work on. Apostle said it earlier when God told Joshua, he told him, he said, now you don't need to do nothing new. You just do what you saw Moses doing. Yeah. Say as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. What you saw Moses doing, you don't have to try to recreate the wheel. It's already been created. All you need to do is just follow right in the vein from what Moses. So you should have been looking close enough at Moses while he was here. So that you can carry it on. Now, see, Aaron should have been carrying on what Moses did. But Aaron messed around and let the people try to make him out the leader. Oh, God. See, you can't ever get in another man's field, and then you try to become him. Y'all with me? So that's just like, you know, we hear helping an apostle to carry out his assignment, you know, in teaching here in the school of ministry. But I don't come here trying to convey my vision that God has given me, because really, apostle vision is my vision.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And see, this is what a whole lot of pastors they're going through life and through ministry. I mean, don't have one iota of what they're supposed to be doing or whatever and stuff. They going over here and they finding out, you know, what this person doing. They going over here, getting a little bit of this and that. See, I tell people this. See, that was a time when I was, I was doing two services in Baton Rouge, and then I was going to Napoleonville doing a service. And one day, Apostle called me in, and so, you know, he was just asking me how everything was going, how things was going down at, on the other end down. I said, going good. He said, you look wore out. And so, praise the Lord. I was saying to myself, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So he said, you look worn out, son. So he asked me, he said, how many people y'all averaging down the church in Napoleonville? I said, well, I don't know, around 70. And so he said, okay. So I was going, so I left his office, and secretary called me, told me to come back. So he said, how many people you said be there? I said, about 70. He said, how many of them come from Baton Rouge? I said, about 50. So he said, son, go ahead on work what God is giving you, the work that he's giving you in Baton Rouge, and stop trying to do all this other stuff. But I'm going to show you something. I got that from somebody else. Watch this, and I'm going to show you. See, if you pick up something from somebody else that you're not really following, then you don't have the grace to do that. See, and the thing about it is, I believe this with everything that's in me. Watch this. Apostle say, you're wearing yourself out, you're wearing your wife out, and you're wearing the people that's coming down there out. I said, yes, sir, you're right. But watch this. I believe that if Apostle hadn't stopped me, I believe that I would have had some serious health challenges, because I was wearing myself out. You know what I'm saying? I was, you know, do two serves in Baton Rouge. Then I'm tearing the road up trying to get down, you know, hour drive away. I'm burning around, I'm speeding and everything. You know what I'm saying? Not even being saved. Satan could have killed me on the highway. You know what I'm saying? But thank God for somebody who cared enough about me.
Yes, sir.
They say, son, look, do what you're doing down here. And then he said to me, he said, if you want to do a Bible study on a Tuesday night or something like that, you could do it. He said, but you're wearing yourself out. He said, cut it out. Now, suppose I would have, you know, I would have said, well, I'm called to do this. You know what I'm saying? And things are working out and everything. See, when you're following with somebody, when it comes time for correction, you got to be willing to get off that. You got to be willing to get off that high horse you've been riding. Hallelujah. So, you know, praise the Lord. So, both discipling and mentoring are a basic training concept that must become operational within an apostolic base. Both are important because discipling covers truth and thinking paradigms, and mentoring covers skills, styles, and presentation in performance. So when believers are established in these paradigms of discipleship and mentoring, we would need to select those who are willing to go higher to the next level. Then we talk about spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is an apostolic concept for reproducing the next generation of sons and daughters to whom we can transfer our legacy in ministry. All right, I'm gonna show you something. Look at Acts. In Acts 17. Let me show you this. In Acts 17, this was the Apostle Paul in, let me see, chapter 17. Let me go to it. Verse 14, it says, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So they with the apostle, right? And then it says, and they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving the commandment of Silas and Timotheus for to come with him with all speed, they departed. Now, I want you to see something right here. All right. When Apostle Paul sent for them, they dropped everything. They dropped it all. See, matter of fact, he told them, hurry up and get over here. And they dropped it all and they went. So turn over to Philippians. See, I want you to see that so you can see why Paul had this confidence in Timothy as a son. He had this confidence in this boy because he knew that Timothy, if it came down to he'd drop it all. So in verse 19, it said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. You know, even the Apostle Paul, when he was there in jail in Philippi and that kind of thing and stuff, he's writing to the people. But he knows that there has to be a special care done because he know that the wolves will come. The wolves will get in there. So he's telling this. Watch this. So he said, may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. So he's talking about sending Timothy. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, for all seek their own, not of the things of Christ. Now, I want you to see this part. Paul knew that Timothy was in love with Christ. Y'all with me? See, because unless a person is in love with God, in love with the Lord Jesus Christ first, they can't really follow somebody who God has given a commission to. Because first of all, if I'm going to follow them, I'm going to have to really get the instructions from God. Yeah. I told you, I think I told you last week that, I read it today. That there's always been times when God have set people in certain places. And wherever God set them at, okay, I could tell you one place I read was in it was talking about this wait a minute, I'm gonna go to it right quick. Genesis 26. This is Genesis 26, talking about Isaac. Hallelujah. Let me see. Isaac, you know, when Isaac was, I'm going to show it to you. Let me show it to you right quick. See, because people get all messed up, get out of place where they're supposed to be, and look for God to rescue them. No, you're supposed to be where. So it says in the first verse of verse 26, it said, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the land. And Isaac, so it talks about Isaac there. So then it said that the Lord had appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. You see that? Mm-hmm. See, that's what I want you to see. Okay, Abraham, when a famine came, his daddy, when the famine came with Abraham, Abraham went down to Egypt. Yes, sir. And Abraham got in trouble down there because Abraham, they was going to kill him because they wanted his wife. And so they told Abraham, Abraham lied and said it was his sister so that they wouldn't kill him. You understand what I'm saying? So, but Abraham, the reason why he got in that trouble is because he went somewhere that God hadn't placed him. So when he, so the Bible says, Abraham went back up out of Egypt. And when he went back up out of Egypt, back to where he was supposed to have been, that's where God blessed him at. So God told Isaac here, he told him not to go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So listen to me closely. You are never supposed to find, let's just say God has placed you somewhere. You're not supposed to find somewhere where it's going to be comfortable for you at. Oh, I wish I had somebody up in here. God will bless you at in your set place. You are not to choose. The Bible says God has set everyone in the body as it pleased him. So if God put my arm over here, there ain't no sense in me saying it'll work better if it was in the center of my body. God knows exactly where it's going to work at. You with me? So God knows exactly what's best for you, even when you don't know what's best for you. So if the Bible says God has placed members in the body as it pleased him, so that means that you can't leave when you get displeased. Oh, Jesus. See, because I'm talking about in this when we begin to start learning how to function in the apostolic, we got to know that there are going to be times of testing. Oh, yeah, there'll be times of testing because, and the thing about it is God is going to be the one giving the test. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now. All right. All right. I want to make sure that you get this. What I'm saying, because see, this is how we say it. We say that, well, you know, God give us choices. He do give us choices. He give us a choice to obey him or not obey him. He'll tell you what to do, but it's your choice whether you want to obey or not. So I just want to make sure I get you thinking right here. Let me see. What's your last name? Yeah. What was your maiden name?
Brady.
Brady. How did you get in that family? Did you choose to get in there? How did you get in there? Look. I mean, the thing about it. And what's your last name?
Right.
How did you get in there?
Born.
You were, but was it your choice?
No, sir.
So if God got enough sense to put you in a family without your choice, it's got to be because he knows what he's doing.
Right.
Because that's a certain thing that your parents have taught you that's going to be needed for your assignment. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So the same way it is, God does the same thing as it relates to he puts you in a family, a spiritual family, give you a spiritual father, and that sort of thing. You don't pick this. God picks. And can I help y'all here? See, when God picked the family that I was going to be in, naturally, the Lord already knew that my daddy was going to tear my butt up. You know, God got foreknowledge. You do know that, don't you? Praise the Lord. So God knew, I mean, my daddy, my God, my daddy whooped in a way, boy, looked like he went to school for it. You know what I'm saying? But this is what I'm trying to say is that God knew that my daddy was not going to be perfect. He knew that there was going to be times when, you know, daddy was going to crash. I mean, that's times that, you know, when the neighbors told him, I saw your son. He was up in the tree throwing rocks down. He broke the neighbor's thing. I got tore up. It wasn't me. But the thing about it, so when my daddy found out it wasn't me, guess what he said? Well, I got you that time for the times I missed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that, see, the Lord knew that he knew before time, before he put us in this vineyard. He knew before time, before he put us with apostle. He knew that apostle, if you mess around and step out of line, the apostle cut your neck. The Lord already knew that. And the Lord knew for some of us. Now, I'm just going to say this because I think y'all like I am. Everybody couldn't pastor me. Come on. It takes a special somebody to pastor me. And so I think that the whole camp of us are people who are not easily pastored. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? See, I had to have somebody who pull a slack out of me. You know what I'm saying? And Daniel says, y'all looking at me like that. Because, you know, y'all got it too. Praise the Lord. So watch this. So there may be times when, okay, you feel like I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. Anytime a pastor called me on me, you know, I was doing this and that and stuff. And then, you know, I got corrected and stuff. The thing about it is you got to understand this. There'll be times when God will test you. Not test you so that God can see, but God wants you to see because he don't want you to be crying foul. Oh, Lord, you know, Lord, this ain't fair. I said, oh. Lord, I said, I want you to see what was in your heart. Why you thought you were submitted, I brought a situation about to prove to you that you're not as submitted as you think you are. To show you that you need some more work. You need to just, you understand what I'm saying? So, and this is a lifetime of training. This is not something that you arrive at. You with me? No. This training is it's lifetime. So I want to, because there's so many people now, there's folk you know. Oh, this is another point I want to hit. Another point I want to hit right here. There's sometimes when there are some people who will leave the place where you are. People who you've been close to. And you have to know how to cut the string. Right, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because, you know, Dr. Walker and I, you know, we've been close friends for years, but we made a pact years ago that, look, if you act up and you leave apostle, we're not gonna be friends on the same level no more. When I see you, I'm gonna be real cordial. How you doing? Did you see the Saints game and stuff? We say something like that, but that's as far as it's gonna go. We're not going out to eat. We're not going to sit around and talk because I don't want you saying nothing that's gonna contaminate me and make me begin to look at the apostle in another way. Well, you know, I had to leave because no, I don't know why you left. All I know is you're gone, but I ain't going. And you're not going to pull me. And so when y'all got them little gathering stuff, don't invite me because I'm not coming. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help me to say this in a real humble way. I'm called to do this. I'm called to teach people, amen, how to connect properly and how to stay connected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we got too many renegades in the body of Christ. See, the thing about it, I'm talking about good people. I'm not talking about people who are just no good and dirty stuff. It's people. The Lord said this to me. Jeff, It's not that people are not, let me see how he said it. He said, it's not that people are not good people. He said, many people don't know the value of honor. They don't know. And so if you can just kind of teach somebody that's ignorant, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And get them to the place where they understand that this is the will of God. You know, this is how God has designed it. And he's designed this way. Apostle said it early. He said it earlier. Talking about Moses and Joshua. I want you to think about it. Think about Elijah and Elijah. Well, when Elijah, in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the 19th verse, where he, you know, he came, where Elijah had, God told him to anoint Elijah in his place. And he said he ran into Elijah and that kind of thing and stuff. And so, Bible said he threw his mantle on him. And Elijah said, well, let me go kiss my mama and my daddy, my father and my mother. But then, after following Elijah, and then over in the 2 Kings, the second chapter, the 12th verse, when Elijah is taken up in the whirlwind, and then he says, my father, my father. So I thought he had left his father over there in 19. I thought in chapter 19, in 1 Kings 19, I thought he had left his father over there. That was his biological father. But over here, he got a spiritual father, somebody who has poured into him, and he's crying out to him because he see that chariot taking him up. You with me? So this spiritual father is an apostolic concept that a whole lot of church don't even know about. Yes. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For example, God rejected Eliezer of Damascus from inheriting what Abraham had. God also rejected Ishmael from being Abraham's heir because he was born out of a slave woman. See, that's what you got to be careful of. You got to be careful of trying to help God do what he do. God don't need no help. He what he's promised, he's going to bring it to pass. All he needed is somebody who will just trust him and just wait on him and just keep the faith. You with me? And so, but if you don't do that, you're going to produce an Ishmael. And how many of you know God's not going to honor that? So there are many who've grown up in leadership in early stages of pioneering work, and they have gone through the thick and thin with us, but choosing to transfer legacy, we have to go beyond the obligation factor to long-standing members who have been faithful pillars in the past. So there was a third category of people in Abraham's house. The Bible records being born in his house in Genesis 14 and 14. He said there were trained men born in his house who were able to fight wars for him. So these, they represented the faithful, loyal members. Faithful, loyal. Faithful, loyal. Loyalty is a learned behavior. It's not something that's ordinary in your DNA. It's a learned behavior. It's sticking with the person who God told you to stick to, no matter who else leave. No matter who else don't want to do, amen, I'll get out here and do whatever I need to do. You with me? And so until we really get to the point where we understand that, see, God's raising up people in the house of God. But the thing about it is, what the author is trying to show us here is that we can't feel obligated to promote people and stuff. See, God is the only one that promotes. Listen to me. I've seen this happen so many times where people have been with apostle, but they want apostle to send them out. Well, apostle can't send them out unless God tell him to send them out. See, this is the thing. This is the thing with people. They feel like I've been with you long enough. You ought to be sending me out. Not if God didn't say it. And so this is the thing. You got so many denominations and things, you know, where they send out a pastor over here to start a church and they send out one over there. And then you be sitting there like, well, you know, look, so-and-so, they just send a pastor out over there. They just sent one out over here and they this and that. And sending people out who really not qualified. Sending people out who really have not had challenges in their own life. So when the challenge comes while they're pastoring, guess what? They're going to fall apart.
Yes, sir.
Right before the people.
Yes, sir.
Pastor, I go to his church, and this has been years ago, and he's sitting up there before the people and talking, crying to the people. Y'all pray for Pastor, because Pastor's just going through it. I'm sitting up there. What is he doing? Man, he going to take all the hope from the people. The people say a pastor catching hell like this and he can't handle it. How in the world we going to handle it when we go through? I say, man, you have to get up there. You have to let the people know, amen, that God's going to work it. I don't care what you're going through. And first of all, you're going to have been through something and God brought you through it in order for you to be able to communicate to them what God will do for them. So if God ain't did nothing for you, and there's no way in the world. So Pastor said, if you ain't wearing nothing, you ain't going to be able to release nothing. Just have a bunch of weak people in the congregation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a new generation of sons and daughters that are rising in our churches who will own the house to continue the legacy of the forefathers. It is this generation that we must reproduce in the church. Reproduce. We must reproduce. We must reproduce. See, watch this. I'm finna help you. God didn't call you to a place just to be there. God called you to a place to assist the person that he's the leader that he's called you there to assist that leader. Y'all with me? All right. So the thing about it is, so it's just like I'm here at Word of Life and I'm assisting you, getting you to understand in order for you to really carry the torch, really to carry what apostle is carrying, you will have to connect. You will have to connect properly. Yes, you will have to become loyal. You will have to become sold out to God first. Yes, sir. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, because you're not going to do apostle no good if you're not sold out to God. Yes, because let me tell you something. I got 2 minutes. Let me tell y'all this. I may have told you, but I tell it so much that I don't know who I done told it to. But there was a time when the Lord spoke to me, you know, and the Lord said to me, he told me to carry $1,000 to apostle. So I went, I called and they told me to come. And so told me I could come. So when I went there, the maid came to the door. So I said, I'm here to see Dr. Thompson. And she said, I know, give it here. I'll take it to him. You know, I'm saying to myself, I thought at least he'd come out. You know, I'm like Naaman, you know. So I said, I thought he'd at least come up. So I went to hit the step to walk back, walk away. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I told you to go and sow the seed. I didn't tell you to go in his face. Yeah. All right. So some months later, this man came to a tent revival that I was having. So he come out there. He said, here's $1,000 the Lord told me to give you. And so he told me something, believe in God for a house and that kind of thing and stuff. And God told me to come sow the seed here. So right away, the Holy Spirit told me, you know, because I'm broke. The man sowing for a house. And so he really don't need to be sowing in broke ground. So Holy Spirit told me to immediately take it to apostle. So I need it. But he not going to get no house if I spend his money. You understand what I'm saying? So I take it to apostle. So I go to the door, knock, you know, ring the doorbell. They come, the maid come. And so I'm just reaching the thing because I'm finna go. And the pastor walks out. I say, come on in. The Lord told me to share something with you. Now, suppose I got offended the first time. See, the Holy Spirit's job is always to let you know. See, that's times when the Holy Spirit won't let them communicate with you. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's something that God's trying to work out of you. And I'm out of time. It's not how you start.
How you
it's how you finish.
Oh my
Hallelujah.